On this edition of the program, what is Rock Solid Refuge? What's change got to do with it? And what does any of this have to do with your family? It's all coming up. From deep in the heart of Southwest Saskatchewan, I'm Paul.
I'm Brad.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Dallas.
And this is the Rock Solid Roundtable, a podcast dedicated to help grow strong families and help families in crisis recover. First things first, we want to go around the table and introduce ourselves. Brad, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
All right. Well, my name is Brad Block. I am the manager of staff training and program support and equine facilitator here at Rock Solid Refuge.
My name is Dan Niles, and I'm manager of pastoral care at Rock Solid Refuge.
And I'm Dallas Block. I am the executive director and was also privileged to be one of the founding board members way back in 2005.
Awesome. Gentlemen, this is our inaugural recording session. Frankly, I'm having a hard time believing that this has actually happened. This has been months of planning. This has been months in the works. We're finally here, though. It's finally happening. And so, Dallas, you had said that one of the first things you wanted to kind of talk about, almost in like an episode zero, would be kind of the history of Rock Solid, maybe a bit of, you know, who we are, what we do. Why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. It's been an amazing journey to see the lives that God has changed over the years here at Rock Solid Refuge. When I was a youth pastor, we would come across, my wife and I worked with young people in different churches and settings for quite a few years, and we would come across young people that had the kind of struggles that really they would fall through the cracks. And teachers would find that same to be true. And so part of the challenge before us in our culture is, how do we address the challenges that families are facing when their young person is in the kind of crisis where just the normal help with friends, neighbors, teachers, pastors, it just isn't enough. They're just going to continue to go down a bad road. And it's really, you know, the streets, jail, death, even it seems to be the outcome that's on its way. And so a young man named Justin in our local community here in Shaunavon got into smoking marijuana as a teenager. And 6 months later, he was a crystal meth addict. And to watch that substance take a hold of a young person's life was something I had never seen or witnessed close up before. And it really rocked my world, and it absolutely devastated his family. And so as a youth pastor and also a family friend of theirs, we walked that journey with this young man. And as a young person, there was no long-term live-in treatment program that was Christian-based for him to go to. And so we asked the question, what can be done about that? Is there something that can be done? So that young man, Justin, he got help through Teen Challenge as a young adult, and it was an amazing opportunity. They are a long-term Christian-based program, but in Canada, they're for adults. And so we really wondered, can there be a place started for young people to come to? As a youth pastor, I was deeply committed to what we do in people's lives being based on the scriptures. And so one of the core values of Rock Solid Refuge, even with the acronym CHANGE, our first core value is Christ and His Word. And so as we began to talk about a program for young people that was going to be long-term, if I was going to be involved in it, it was going to be Christ-centered. It was going to be based on the Word of God. And so that was just simply a non-negotiable. And so my wife and I, having been youth pastor, involved in young people's lives for many years, and then also transitioning to being an associate pastor overseeing young adults and young families, was an amazing opportunity to see what is the foundations that families need. And as we raised our own family at that time, and just walking through that journey, to bring foundations into families that were biblical and that could really help families weather the storms that would come their way.
Yeah, I mean, Christ and His Word is really the foundation of life, right? And if He's at our core, the wisdom that comes from him about, hey, how do we shape our families and what God has done through the scriptures as laid out. Hey, how did God design humans to be? What was his design plan? And then following his footsteps and acting that out to bring forward just a transformed life, a life from death to life through Christ and sin and struggle to freedom and a restored relationship with our Creator, to be kind of the foundation of how do we get from ruins and addiction and death to a life free from all of that.
For me, both in my life and in my work here, every problem I've encountered, whether in myself or in people around me or people I'm trying to help, every problem has been, for me, however serious the problem, has been symptomatic of the underlying, the deep fundamental foundational issue, alienation from God. And everything that I try to do here is part of what God has already done through Christ and his outpoured spirit, healing that alienation, bringing us back into relationship with him, and then making that specific and concrete in hurting lives.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it kind of all goes back to original sin, right? It's mm-hmm. it's not just that, you know, the teens that we serve, even though like they are in crisis, they are some of Canada's toughest teens, but really it's just an extreme expression of what's kind of present in all of humanity, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we sought to shape the program of Rock Solid Refuge, really at the heart of it was what does it look like for a man and a woman, a husband, a wife, a family unit to shape themselves around Christ and his word? Even situations that are not a part of a person's control to become even a single parent. These are not outside of the realm of what Christ would address in his word as well, and through relationship with Christ. So when we thought about what does it look like to provide this kind of help through that lens, everything else that followed just flows really from that foundation. And so the other letters in the acronym CHANGE flow quite naturally out of that. So healthy relationships is the H in our acronym. We really do believe that what God does in our lives, he does through relationships primarily. We know that there's one-offs in different ways. You might have a conversation with somebody that you've never met and you'll never see again, and it might be really an important conversation, but so much of what God does in our lives, he does through relationships. And so we want to promote healthy, biblically-based relationships in the relationships we have with our students, so much of their relationships with adults, with their parents, with those who are in authority, teachers, any of those kind of things, have not been healthy. They've come to understand the world as us versus them, it's conflict, it's butting heads. That's the way they've understood relationships. And so we have an opportunity to give them a different experience and a different standard, a different foundation, even for approaching relationships. So maybe just kind of throw it out there. If anybody can think of, you know, even some of the examples that we've been able to witness of how some of those relationship shifts have happened through the way in which we apply the program at Rock Solid Refuge, and even as we see families apply that in their situations.
I there's always a student that I think of who just had no concept of what it meant to have like any sort of normal relationship with another person, like things from, oh, somebody's out playing hockey out on the ice and I'm just going to go over and take the puck and throw it over the boards just because, and then being surprised when his fellow student got very upset that this kid just took his thing, and you just had absolutely no concept when he came here to Rock Solid of what it meant to be in normal function with another human being. And by the end of that guy's program, like the transformation that that kid had come through, and through him coming to understand even his walk with God better, and deepening that relationship with God. And again, it roots back to, again, you know, our foundation, Christ and his word, and starting to understand that. And another actually fellow student just kind of looked at him, who was a kind of one of our high level students, looked at him and said, "I'm just going to make that kid my friend," and taught him really in a real way what it meant to have a relationship. Man, that student was just he was a different person. Like, nobody who knew him before thought he was the same person when they seen him after coming through our doors. And it was just really cool how he was able to shape into actually having good relationships, lots of good relationships at Rock Solid, and with his family, restored relationship with his family and stuff like that. It was really, really cool to see that transformation in healthy relationships.
After that student kind of took the other one under his wing, how mm-hmm. long did it take for, like, the other relationships to kind of start to be restored? Because I don't imagine it was like an overnight thing.
No, it wasn't an overnight thing, for sure. But not as long as you would think. Like, I have to think back now. But I would say probably within a month, there was a noticeable difference. It's certainly not perfect, but within a month, that kid's understanding and actually starting to relate to other students that started changing the perspective of other students to that kid. Like, he was able to just start treating others better because he kind of came under the wing of someone who was treating him well. Because that kid, he'd never been, had good relationship with anybody. Nobody was ever that kid's friend. And so, yeah, I'd say probably a month is when we started to see a difference. And then it just, the longer it went on, the faster the change became, right? As he learned more and more, relationships got better and better, faster and faster.
I think another interesting thing about that young person is he went and worked at a Bible camp after being at Rock Solid. And
for a couple of years.
So being able to shift from the incredible needs that he had to being able to minister to other people mm-hmm. in that setting as well.
Here at Rock Solid, it's not a lack of examples, but an overabundance of examples, sadly. But thinking of the spectrum that we see, one of the students and his family who we've been working with recently, the student has simply been abandoned by his birth mother and birth father, and yeah, they've sort of been in an out of his life, but essentially the kid has then gone on to be rejected by others in school and elsewhere, and abandonment was at the heart of it. With another, it was hyper-criticism. This kid was criticized for everything. He couldn't do anything, but he'd be told that, well, he needed to do it better. And when you're constantly hearing that kind of voice, it's hard not to relate to other people in the same way. Whichever way we sort of frame it, it's about what's at the core of who we are. We are people in relationships, and when that core is severely damaged and warped and twisted, then it takes so much work to restore and to heal. But of course, the work always begins with restoring the most important relationship of all, the relationship with God.
All right, to continue kind of defining who we are, the A in our acronym CHANGE is for adolescence. Now, the reality is that in Canada, there's quite a few other adult programs in the country, even biblically based Christian programs that are doing great works with adults, but there's not a lot of live-in treatment programs for adolescents, especially biblically based ones. And so our focus is the adolescents and their families. The N stands for new life. And it's really interesting that, you know, as we have even staff coming through our doors and coming to work with the students that come here, it's very critical that everyone that comes to work here believes that God can bring new life into that young person, regardless of the background. Just as Dan was just mentioning, there's so many different stories in the background of rejection on different levels and difficult scenarios. But some of it, other people's choices, and other things that are their own choices. But to believe that God can bring new life into that young person's life, and that a new trajectory can be set in motion. And then the G stands for growth. And so those two, it's very important that we keep those connected, but recognize also that, you know, a phase of growth begins at a moment of new life. And when you have the opportunity to see some of the guys who've been in our program, even 10 years after they've been here, it's quite a moment. It's very sobering and humbling when you see one of the guys who becomes an addictions counselor, and now he is giving back in that setting. And so new life for him in time translated into the kind of growth where he developed his own passions and skills. And I remember him as a student saying, you know, I think I'm going to be an addictions counselor someday. And, you know, you go, okay, all right. And who knows?
Glad you have ambitions. Yeah.
I'm glad you, those are good ambitions. I'm gonna encourage that ambition. I don't know, but then there he is. He's an addictions counselor and has been for several years. Yeah. And as I watch him continue his journey, his commitment clearly to the concept of growth is a part of his life. And so we're committed to that. Even as we think about who we are as staff, nobody comes into Rock Solid, even as a staff member, without being changed. And I think we can attest to that just even around this table, how God has challenged us and even brought about growth in our own lives. I don't know if anybody wants to comment on that new life and growth a bit.
New life can easily be dismissed as a cliche until you actually see it happening in somebody's life, especially with kids who, I mean, what do we do when we experience relational pain? Chances are we turn to something to numb the pain. Substances, pornography, acting out, you name it. Dallas talked about the kid whose story was foundational to Rock Solid being started. And I've never forgotten reading his mom's account of their struggle together and how she prayed, saying, God, please, make my son want you more than he wants any substance. And you know, that prayer was answered, and we've seen it answered again and again. And it's that's new life in action.
So the last word in our acronym change is excellence. We have spent, like I said, we were founded 20 years ago, 2005, and so we've spent 20 years investing in becoming a program of excellence. And even for the program, you know, growth is an ongoing thing, doing what we do with excellence. And I think even just this conversation right here is a part of that, that we're continuing to grow and expand and hopefully provide excellent value to people who might even listen to this podcast. And so at the foundation of who we want people to know us to be, those are key core value aspects.
Right. So the full acronym is CHANGE. So Christ and His Word, Healthy Relationships, Adolescence, New Life, Growth, and Excellence. Those are the six. Those are the six key components to it. How, or does this apply, do you think, to a family unit, to you know, families across Canada, across the world?
Every family has a sense of identity, and so the world can shape us very easily if we just kind of float through and take our cues from the world around us as to who we should be. And so when we think about who we are as, I mean, for us here at Rock Solid, who we are, this is critical for us to understand that this defines us. And so a lot of families go along with what the common or normal expectation around them is, even in regards to, you know, what should they do for their kids regarding schooling? What should they do for their kids regarding activities and sports and all of the different things? But do you understand who you are as a family at the foundation? What is most important to you as a parent? And do your kids know that? Because we do live out our values one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And if we don't understand what our values are and we don't communicate them in our household in some framework, our kids will pick up our values from us just by the way they observe us. And so deep intentionality, I guess, is my point with that, that every family has to decide who they are and what their level of intentionality. Maybe a quick book recommendation that I might throw out there. I'm a big fan of a leadership author named Patrick Lencioni, and he wrote a book actually for families called Three Rules for Frantic Families, or something to that effect. In that book, Patrick Lencioni just challenges families to really understand, like, who are you? Don't let the world around you determine how your family will be shaped and what the activities of your family are, but know for yourselves who you are and let that drive you forward as a family.
Three big questions for
three
a frantic,
big questions. For Thank you. Family. I forgot it off the top of my head.
And I think for every family, especially for Christian families who are wanting to follow God, right? Like, this whole acronym, I think, relates to everyone, right? Like, hey, you know, is Christ and His Word at the foundation of your home, and of who you are as a family, who you are as parents, right? And then healthy relationships, right? Are there healthy relationships in your home, and how do you build on that? How do you foster and create good relationships as spouses, husband and wives, and with your children, and to display to them well what it means to have good relationship. When you raise kids, you end up raising adolescents, right? Okay, so how do we navigate that fun time of a young person's life where it's that intricate balance of they're becoming older and want more independent, but how do we foster that independence in a healthy way and prepare them for adulthood and to be independent adolescents, but I mean, to be adults and come out of adolescence, but those adolescent years, you know, need a lot of guidance, and to help, we need to help them think through, life. And so how do we lead and guide them and new life, right? If we go back to Christ and His Word, hey, we're born sinners who need a new life in Christ. And so no matter what, there needs to be an aspect of a new life in a home as new creations in Christ Jesus, right? And to grow as a family, right? Like, there's different aspects of a lot of things. So I don't know. I think this acronym is applicable both to what we do here at Rock Salt Refuge, but also in every family.
All right. So to kind of wrap up who we are as an organization, and maybe even a bit more practical application that can work itself out into just the average family, we have kind of some pillars of how we understand the goals for the students that we work with. And I think that they are good biblical goals for any family to have, for each individual in the family. And truthfully, there's a component to where the parents play a huge part in this. I'll start even with the parent side of things, because the direction that young people take has to first be filtered through what the parents are bringing to the table for them as well. And so when we think about our roles with the students here, we look through the lens of three primary approaches: role modeling, relational influence, and authority. And so that first aspect that I said, which is role modeling, is such an important and critical reality for young people to see a role model that they can look up to. And so then what are we role modeling is then the big question. And so if we want to make it pretty general, but I think understandable and specific enough for us to apply in any situation, whether it's our program here at Rock Solid, but really any home, our three primary goals for the students are maturity, responsibility, and charity. And our rules will hold them accountable to basic character qualities like honesty, obedience, and respect. So where do we come up with this? How does this come from a biblical worldview? And really a really basic scripture, and it's from the book of Ephesians, where Paul writes, "Let the thief steal no more, but let him do honest work with his hands, that he might have something to give to the one in need." And so when you think about that verse, it's like the Apostle Paul structured kind of a progression for somebody who is struggling. And so the young people that come to Rock Solid, they're not mature, they're not responsible, and they're not charitable. But when you think about us as humans, and we think about even, say, a newborn child or a toddler in our homes, we wouldn't define them as mature and responsible nor charitable. Like, that's just the normal way in which we enter the world. And so these are things that need to be shaped into our lives. And unfortunately, we probably all know enough adults even that are not necessarily mature, responsible, or charitable. And so one of the first questions, again, for parents is, how are we role modeling those things? Are we mature? Would the average person who knows us define us that way? Are we responsible? Do we take care of the things that are our responsibility? And then, are we charitable? Is the world that we function in better because we're there? Is our family better because we're there? Is the community better because we're there? Our church or the different circles, our workplace, is it better because we're there? So those are just the realities that need to be happening. And so when we think about our students, yeah, they don't come in mature, responsible, or charitable. But through the progression of the program, we work those realities forward, and it's necessary for their progress through the program. But it should be something that every parent is very conscious about. One of the ways in which we need to consider those realities is also recognizing that our kids in their development are going to go through different changes and developmental stages. And so I think one of the things that we found as parents, we now have three adult kids and one still teenager at home. You instill, hopefully, the principles of maturity, responsibility, charity, honesty, respect, and obedience in a child's life. But when they become teenagers, and teenage years are notorious, right? Everybody's like, oh, teenagers. People love them or can't stand them. Either want to be around them all the time or want to be around them never.
And these patterns that you see of, like, people saying, you know, oh, the next generation kids today, right? Like, this is something that's been along since, like, the ancient Greeks are talking about how, oh, this next generation coming up, that we don't stand a chance, right? Like, the entire civilization's going to fall.
Absolutely. But I think it's so important to get that in a proper framework, that there's a sense in which we are reteaching teenagers the same concepts that we taught them when they were kids, and partially because their whole world is changing. They're now assessing the world through a much more subjective lens. But we need to now help them translate from a child's mindset into an adult's mindset in these matters, right? Maturity, responsibility, charity. Is the room that you enter better off because you've entered it? What is it going to be like when you're 25, when you're 35, when you're 45? And I often ask our students that question. So if things stay the same, if you continue to do the same things that you're doing now, what can you expect your life to be like when you're 25 or 35? And when they think for even just about 5 seconds, they're like, I could be in jail. I might even be dead. So yeah, I realize something really needs to change. And so those pillars of maturity, responsibility, charity, honesty, respect, and obedience. And then for us as parents to role model that, to have that relational influence that we talked about, the healthy healthy relationships. And then for us also as parents, even through the teen years, to be willing to be an authority that says, no, here's the boundaries. You know, this is what's good for you. And recognize that even the authority that God gives us is meant to be a blessing in their lives to steer them. Unfortunately, some parents have given a lot of freedom through the child years because, you know, the risks of something going really badly are much lower when the kids are young. And then when things go sideways as teenagers, then they want to clamp down. The goal actually should be the opposite, in a sense, where we give a lot of shaping, a lot of direction, a lot of hurdle help and ways in which, you know, our kids need to develop in those areas. And then hopefully during the teen years, we can begin to expand their ability to make some of those decisions. And also they got to own that. They got to own some of the outcomes of that. And so, honestly, it's actually pretty neat to just open up God's word and find these principles and to just begin to apply them and to watch the young people here in this setting, which again, some of the most difficult youth, maybe in Canada, in a lot of senses, and watch them see their lives change, see their relationships change, see the effect that they have on a room change, and for them to be able to see that and go, huh, I never thought that that would be the case for me.
So of role modeling, relational influence and authority, the ways that, you know, we kind of look at holding teens, holding children accountable, and even really in a lot of ways, holding one another accountable, right? Like we role model, we have relational influence over other adults in our lives, right?
Yep.
And maybe this is teeing it up a little bit for you here, Dallas. Which one of the three is most important?
The all-time discussion. This is something that comes up all the time. And the truth is that they're all important. It's actually makes it worse if we try to create one above the other. Sometimes we describe it as a three-legged stool. If your stool's not emphasizing all of them at the same time, it's going to be off balance. Sometimes we just say, hey, think about it in a circle. They're all present all the time. So if any one of those is absent, it's not balanced. It's not the right approach. It doesn't mean that you're emphasizing each one of those at equally all the time, because one of the blessings of applying it appropriately is that, you know, the authority aspect, hey, that can actually diminish in a sense as far as its immediate application, but it never disappears. God doesn't remove boundaries from us ever. They're always there. But at the same time, God's desire is that we would be influenced by him because of our understanding of the love relationship he calls us into, rather than needing, in a sense, a stick to move us into the right direction. And so role modeling, Christ is our role model, relational influence. Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Authority, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now, therefore, go. And so I just think that none of them is absent ever, but they might we might lean into one or the other a little bit more at a given time, but never is one absent.
Awesome. And even as we've been talking here, right, we've been saying, you know, role modeling, relational influence and authority in that specific order every single time. I know in a lot of our training material, we have purposefully created it where those are mixed up every time you see it. It's not in that order. It's, you know, next it'll be, you know, written authority, relational influence, role modeling, then relational influence, role modeling, authority, right? They're not meant to be in a hierarchical order at the moment. So Dan, what do you find with these three? What makes them effective with working with struggling teens?
The teens we deal with, I guess like other teens too, but maybe even more so, very quick to spot any kind of hypocrisy. They watch all the time, and sometimes they come right out and say it, sometimes they may not, but they'll say, hey, this is what you said, but doesn't quite match with what you're doing. So that's a perfectly fair and valid challenge It can sometimes be used as just a ruse to kind of get what they want, and that's par for the course. But
that doesn't invalidate it either,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Come at this from a different angle, I want to also talk to parents who simply struggle with the idea of being good role models. They know that they are not good role models. And we work with parents like that often here at Rock Solid. Just the other day, one of our high-level students asked me, I'm going to go back and my folks, they don't know about the gospel, about Christ, and this won't make any sense to them. And I said, well, just remember that Christianity is not for good people. It's for losers, for people who messed up.
Yeah.
And you should have just seen the look of surprise and then relief that spread across his face. And so I want to parents who are struggling with this sense that, they've messed up. So they know that they themselves are struggling with substance abuse. Some of the parents we work with are themselves in trouble with the law enforcement. God is ever in the business of rebuilding broken lives. And he does that not just with kids, but with parents. He's done that with every one of us.
Absolutely. And one of the greatest joys that we have been able to see here is that restoration of the family relationship, and to watch parents on their own journey towards faith for the first time. I remember one of our early family camps. We do a family camp every summer. One of the couples sat way in the back of our chapel, and the first night, and then pretty standoffish regarding spiritual matters. And then the next night, they sat a little closer to the front, and the next night, a little closer to the front. And the last night, they're like right up at the front and just taking it all in. And we had had kind of a display with a book table and that kind of stuff. And that dad took home, I don't know how many books, probably 5 or 6 books that he's like, I need to read these things. And I popped into their home a couple of years later, and I was in their area and popped in, and those books were on his shelf. And so it's just been an amazing part of our journey and our story to be a part of, yes, the youth, the adolescents that come here, but also their families, the parents that are really, they're in crisis, and they're not sure how to have hope anymore. And so this has been a great privilege for us that we had hoped would be the case when we first started Rock Solid. And happily, we get to say that in many situations, we see hope restored. It's not a, turnkey, like just flip the switch and everything's better now. It's still a journey. It's an experience of growth throughout their lives, and the parents are on that same journey as well.
Final thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think to the effect of families who want to grow, I think, and even God's calling to families, Dan, I just really appreciate even what you said, right? Like, families are redeemable. Lives are redeemable. And the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is that, our past doesn't need to define us, and he's come into the world to give hope and life and new life in him. And I think the beauty, even as parents, one of the joys we get to do is to role model again to our children, the good news of Jesus Christ, and to find that new hope and new life in him, and restore relationship in the family and in the home.
All right, and that'll wrap it up for us today. The Rock Solid Roundtable is created by Rock Solid Refuge, a Christian nonprofit dedicated to restoring adolescent lives and ministering to families. If you want to support the Rock Solid Refuge podcast and ministry, visit our website at www.rocksolidrefuge.com. And we want to hear from you as well. Send any questions or recommendations for the panel to partners@rocksolidrefuge.com.